So I think we can start. So thanks for joining then. I mean, assuming that you're not here for me, but so 2 years ago, I came to share a little project I was working on, trying to solve a problem that I was facing. So the idea is I'm maintaining quite a lot of Git repositories. Is it moving? Is it moving? Oops. Do this way. So basically, I'm maintaining quite a lot of Git repositories. Those Git repositories contain quite a lot of informations, and those information can get outdated pretty quickly. And so my problem was, how can I identify those information and then to be able to do whatever was needed? Sometimes it's just updating a version. Sometimes it's updating an installation links. So it was really like about being able to identify what to monitor and what to do when we find something that is outdated. So at the beginning, I was working on a Jenkins project where we have like thousands of Git repositories. So we already use scripts like Python, Ruby, and so on to catch those outdated information. We were already using as well tools like Renovate Bot, DefenderBot. But the problem was, it was not flexible enough for us to be able to identify all those changes. So we started working on a new project, which is like update CLI. So I'm pretty bad at naming things, so just the CLI that updates stuff. The best way to describe this is it's a declarative dependency management. So the idea is really to be able to explain what we are monitoring and what we want to do. So the core has been pretty stable since the beginning of the project 5 years ago-ish. So we have like five main resources, the source which defines where an information is coming from. So yeah, obviously I expect a YAML manifest to work, so you need to describe what you want to do. So source explain where the information is coming from. So for example, in this case, we are monitoring the Java version 17, but that could be like Java, that could be a lot of different things. We have like a plugin ecosystem, so we can really try to adapt to the different scenarios. Conditions mean this is a condition that needs to pass before moving to the next source. So that would be, doesn't make sense to update, I don't know, a Helm chart if the image is not available, the Docker image is not available. So those are things you want to check. The target is what you need to monitor. So for example, in this case, that's a target of kind Dockerfile. So we are monitoring Dockerfile with a specific Docker instruction. And so if for some reason the Java version is not set to the latest version of Java defined by the source, then update CLI is designed to update that information so we can move to the next, so we can just update the information. SCM resource is Git repositories that we want to interact with, so either fetching information from a Git repository or updating a Git repository. And finally, the action is like doing something when the target is updated. So the idea here is really to define a pipeline about how to update files and then run the commands from a CI, from the machine, from wherever you want. The idea remained the same. So this is an example on the Jenkins project where we tried to monitor all the Docker images that we are building, and we have Docker images for different Java version, different architectures, for example. So this diagram was generated by Update CLI, so the way it works is it just shows the different components of that specific pipeline, and there is a QR code if you want to see what the manifest looks like, because it's a pretty long one. But what we do here is we have one source where we monitor the Java version, as I showed in the previous example. We have one condition, which is check that we have a Docker image available for a specific target for all the different architectures that we are monitoring. And finally, we have a lot of targets, and those targets represent different files that we are monitoring, like Dockerfile, Packer, because we are using Packer. So we monitor HCL file, we monitor. And so the idea is really to be able to monitor all those different files and then open one PR so that someone can just validate that we want to use that latest version. So, as I said, the core remained the same. It's always the same, like running Git checkout, fetch information, and so on. We have kind of, we built over time a kind of plugin ecosystem where each plugin is dedicated to a specific problem. So, for example, the YAML file is about defining what YAML file you want to update, what are the key you want to monitor, and what the value you are expecting there. And so all those plugins work. So we work with different Git providers as well. This approach about like being very, very flexible about we need to do is, on one side, it's like quite simple, because if one day you're not monitoring the version 17, but you want to monitor the version 21, just one variable to change, so you're not like having to go deep in some complex scripts. The other part that I like here as well is you just have one process, so you know that you're always monitoring a specific piece of information, so you group all those changes at once so the team know what you do. The counter side of this is you have to write manifests, so obviously that's, I mean, the less manifest you write, the better we are all. But and more importantly, what is really challenging with this approach is that you need to know what you are monitoring. So you need to know in advance what are the files. So if someone in the team tomorrow decide to, I don't know, add a new Docker file, that person also need to know that they need to update the data automation to be able to catch those updates. So on one side, it brings a lot of flexibility, but on the other side, it also force the team to change the mindset about always thinking about, okay, I'm bringing something to the Git repository. Could that version become outdated? And if it's the case, try to do something that could be sure that tomorrow it's still working. Over time, the project evolved as our need evolved as well. So we started to think about like, okay, we have to write manifest to define what our approach, what our update procedure looks like. What if we could detect automatically based on some Git repositories what we need to monitor? So for people familiar with Dependabot, I mean, who's familiar with Dependabot or Renovate in the room? Okay, so that's pretty much the closest idea here, is that we let update CLI to analyze a Git repository to detect like that's a Maven file or GoMod file for Go, and then it generate the manifest and apply them straight away. The purpose was not to replace Renovate or Dependabot. The purpose was more to be like something that would work well with it. But yeah, it turns out that we could also make it easier to automate different kind of scenarios. So this one is an example of a very small manifest where we want to automate updates in the Helm project. And so if you have this small manifest that tells us like monitor any Helm dependencies in that Git repository, do whatever needs to be done. So at this moment, we are not anymore about defining in advance what we need to update, but we're trying to guess, which come with a different set of challenges, because each ecosystem has its own set of rules. So for example, in the Docker ecosystem, you can use whatever versioning you want. And so those different versions can mean different things to different people. So it can be really tricky to identify what should be the next version. So that come with a different set of challenges, but it was kind of useful from time to time. So the biggest benefit of this one is like the same with tools like Dependabot is you don't necessarily need to know what you want to update. You just let the tool detect those. But then over time, you also need to be able to limit some updates or to say like this dependency, I don't really care. I'm fine to update that once a month or I want to group those informations together. But on the other side, that's the same approach with other tools where it's really noisy because you quickly get like hundreds of dependencies in your project and you need to decide what to do when something changes. Those are the main approach where we try to be as flexible as possible to be able to identify all those policies. But what we noticed over time is that we ended up copy-pasting the same YAML manifest over many Git repositories. So we were wondering, what if we could just have like an update policy? And that's what we did. So what we have is that we have the ability to publish those policies to a registry like Docker Hub, ghgr.io, for example. And we can version those policies. So we just try to have like generate update policies for the different projects. And so we now have like one file name update CLI compose.yaml. And then there we can list like all the policies we want to do. We can just change the parameters. So it became a lot easier to scale over the different repositories we work. So the way a policy, I mean, if you're curious, there is a Git repository name of the CLI/policies where we have like a lot of policies we use for various open source projects we are working on. But a policy like a bit similar to Helm artifact where we specify metadata and then we can publish that to a registry. So what we like with this is we move from, now we have like one repository where we maintain all the update policies. So we really have like few people looking into those policies. And it just becomes more easier to change those update policies over time because you can version them. So you can also have like different policies if you're on production environment or if you're on a dev repository. The counter side of this is you just have more templating in place. So you can end up with very complex policies if you, depending on what you're trying to do. So the last part I want to finish here is I just want to thank all the people who contribute. So this project started while I was working on a Jenkins project as a side project. And over time, we started to see a lot more people contributing to this small project. We also have sponsoring from time to time. So thanks to Prefect HQ is also sponsoring the project, which gives us the ability to have stickers and so on to sponsor some small stuff. So yeah, that was nice to see this project evolving. If you're curious, we have a chat where we regularly interact with the different people. I'm not sure I'm going to have like enough time to go on this project, so I'm going to just skip this one. But I get. So yeah, I'm gonna stop here. So yeah, that was it to give a quick update on how this project evolved over the past 2 years. That's it. Any question? Yes.
How do you deal with like tricky version numbers if you have like timestamps or some?
So the thing is, when we specify a source information, you specify, for example, Java. Let's say the Java example that I show. And then we also have where to filter the version. And then you can have different rules like semantic versioning, date. We have a few of them like that. But the challenge you have here, if you go with a declarative approach in that you know what you're looking for, you can really specify, I'm looking for the latest version matching a date, blah, 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 and you can specify some constraints. When you go with the auto discovery, which is like Depend About or Innovate, that's a tricky part because you don't always know what's the meaning of the version. And sometimes you can have versions that are very similar. So for example, some projects use a version as a date, and that date could be like a huge major version in the context of semantic versioning. And so you have, when you have like very old projects, it can become really tricky to know what should be the latest version. And so that's why the declarative approach is really useful. So typically, if you have internal dependencies and you know what you're monitoring, you can just specify, I'm looking for the latest information based on some date, for example. And you can also specify if you want to transform that information. So if you're, for example, some project publish version where they have the project name dash and semantic version, that means that it's not really semantic versioning because they have the project name in front of it. So you have like extra things to do if you want to know what should be the latest version. But that's definitely something, Wendell.
Can you tell it to stop upgrading when you definitely know that there's a major version?
Yes. That's something we can as well do. We have plenty of examples. Once again, that one comes with one question about if you know, let's say you want to stop at the version 20, so you put some rules like don't give me a version after 20, but then at some point someone need to update the update policy to know that now you're looking for the version 21, for example. And that's where the policy is useful, is because you have one policy that says don't go over 20, and then the next version will be don't go over 21. And so then you have the control to decide which Git's repository is monitoring the version 20 and which Git's repository is monitoring the version 21.
And you said that it would automatically create a PR?
Yes. Yes, exactly. So that's the idea. I can show an example. What do I have here?
1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute, and then I finished. So for example, if I go Jenkins infra, Jenkins CI, Docker. If I go, so there is a bunch of policies. So the thing is, it's not only used to track, we can use it to track a lot of different kind of information. So for example, here we specify the Git repositories we want to interact with. Nori, we have the action at the bottom, yes, here. So here we specify what should be the title of the PR, what should be the labels of the PR. You have like a few PR configuration you can do. Like, for example, you can also open a PR on the upstream repository. So for example, if you fork a repository, you can automatically open it upstream. You have quite a lot of functionalities. Usually we use it all the time. So if someone needs something, just add the feature depending on the needs. And then starting from there, yeah, that's what you are asking me. Can we filter version? Yeah, definitely. You just have to specify what's the version you're looking for, you know, and then you can do things like remove the v prefix and so on. So it's really, you have, if you think, if you know what you're looking for, it's very powerful to do. It's over. Next.
It's over.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.